Today's daf in Masechet Chagiga, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Yud Tes. And I would like to start over here at the bottom once again of Yud Ches Amud Beis. We can go right back into the sugya. Tana Rabban. Hanotel Yadav. So somebody does a Tilat Yadayim, if he had Kavona, Yadav Tohorot. If he didn't have Kavona, Lonit Kavein, Yadav Tmeot. And the same time, we're going to be talking about this. Of course, what is this referring to? Of requiring kavana for netilat yadayim. And just by the way, that you should know that there are those who paskin halacha lemaisa, that this is true even for chulin. And if you ended up washing your hands, not for the purposes of the kiyum of netilat yadayim, for eating the bread, that you wouldn't be allowed to be samech on it for achila. But we'll see more about that later on in the Gemara. And not only that, but v'chein hamatbil yadav, nitkaven yadav torot, lo nitkaven yadav tmeot. So yesterday, I believe we did this yesterday, we asked v'atanya ben nitkaven ben lo nitkaven yadav torot. How do we explain the fact that another brisa says that your kavana is irrelevant? Om rev nachman lo kasha, kan lechulin, and kan lemaser. So it depends. Where? We're talking about maser, and for sure, anything above Maiser. Remember that we've been talking about the Ma'alot de Rabbanan, and the Ma'alot de Rabbanan, we had the sets of purposes that are definitive, and we also had the types of Tahira that are definitive, and the questions of Kavana and consciousness that are definitive. So we had three separate sets of issues. We had five dargas, which consisted of chulin, maaser sheni, truma, kodesh, and chatas. We had the different modes of tahira, which consisted of netilas yadayim, tefilas yadayim, then tefilas kol haguf, and then, of course, the question of whether you require the Harev Shemesh or not, together with the tefillah. And then we had the different questions of consciousness, so that the begodim would be affected by your level of awareness, because we consider your level of alertness to be a function of how conscious you are of the importance of the purpose, and therefore you become more aware, also because you're dealing with that purpose. Those were the three issues. So the first distinction that we made was the difference between chulin and maaser, and therefore we're saying a very simple solution. If we find two brises, one of which requires a higher degree of consciousness, and one of which says it's sufficient to have a lower degree of consciousness for the same act, which would be either netilat yadayim or tefilat yadayim, then the only element that remains for it to be a variable is simply what is the object. So that's very simple. If we're talking about chulin, then we're on the lowest level of objects. That's one. If we're talking about maaser sheni, we go up one notch, and therefore it makes sense to require these higher darkas. So that's fine. Ask the Gemara today. By the way, I just wanted to point out, since we have a Rebbe here, I think we have a Rebbe here, not just a picture of a Rebbe here, but you can never be sure, you know. But if we have a Rebbe here, we just want to point out that Rabbi Avraham Mitrisk pointed out from here, that people go to the mikveh every day, you know, they go right to the mikveh like all the Hasidim. So what he says is, you see that people that do that out of habit, without a sense of going in order to be metayer, their nefesh, to be mischazek, la'vedas habere, taval, ki'ilu lo taval. It's as if they never went to the mikveh at all. Segornish vert. So it's very important for the Rebbe to remember that when he's building the mikveh and getting the donations for the building of the mikveh, that there's going to be a big sign there that says, Toval v'loy huzak ki'ilu lo toval. That's one very important Indian. Then there's a little bit of a better mocker for issues, which is the Rambam. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Mikvos, uses this as his beautiful Siyum of Hilchos Mikvos. And what he says is like this. I'm going to read for you the closing of Hilchos Mikvos. Davar barur v'galui shahatumot v'ta'arot gzerot ha-katuve ve'inam midvarim shedato shel adam mechraato Varein bechlal hachukim. It's obvious that Tuma and Taira is something that the Taira is mechadish. They are part of the chukei haTaira. They're not things that a human being would ever have come up with because they don't seem to exist. The same thing is true for tefillah, says the Rambam. Vechina tefillah minatumot is also the fact that you could be tovel in water from Tuma. What are we talking about? That's all a chuk. She'ena Tuma tit otsoa she'ta'avor b'mayim. I mean, what would water have to do with this conceptual thing? Ultimately, that's what the Rambam derives from this Gemara, which is basically the same idea. So once the person has kavana for taira, then that tefillah is betayer him, even though afapi shelo nitchadesh begufo dafar. Nothing's changed physically in his body. It was only the context of his body that changed, right? Kacha mechaven libo letaher nafsho mitumot hanefashot. So too, if somebody wants to be betayer his nefesh, from the concept of the things which are metame, the nefesh, yes, there are things like dead humans or dead animals or all those things that are metame. They are metame, your goof. Those are physical things. But there are also things that are metame, your soul. She'in machshavot ha'aven, v'de'ot ha'ra'ot. The moment that you make up your mind, kivan she'hiskim bilibo, lifrosh mi'otan ha'etzot, you have now committed yourself to drop all of that, and now you bring your soul into a new context. What would that be? Hey, v'nafsho b'mei hadat. So now you're teival in what's always that remez v'ein mayim elatera, and that's das, so that you are now awash in a flow of awareness and das in the world. You become tahar. Harehu omer v'zorakti aleichem mayim tahorim v'tihartem mikol tumotechem u'mikol giluleichem atahar etchem. Hashem berachamav harabim mikol chet avon v'ashma yitaharenu. Amen. That is the closing of the Rambam. Of course, it's not the Wayu Rambam. The Wayu Rambam doesn't really believe any of this garbage. It would never have thrown in Hashem berachamav harabim. Amen. I mean, come on. You know, how far does he have to go just to make himself sound religious? Okay. Anyway, yes. Yes, Barnea, is that the kalpi in the base of Mikdash that you're shaking? Am I supposed to stick my hands into it now? Take out one of the...
It's the top of Mei Hadas. Beautiful name for yeshiva, no? Mei Hadas.
Would that it were so easy. Anyway, so... Ask the Gemara, Umina Temra Dechulin Lobo Kavana. Where do we get the idea here? You're making this distinction. You're saying the Braita that says you don't need Kavana for Netila, that is understandably referring to Chulin. What gives you the idea that generally speaking there's no din of Kavana for Chulin? From the following Mishnah. It says like this. Suppose you have a wave. And you're sitting on the seashore, right? And you have a waves that keep, there's like a little wave breaker in front of the seashore, and these waves keep breaking over the wave break and smashing over the seashore. So you're sitting there on the seashore, and a gal shenitlash, you've got this enormous wave, all of a sudden, and you're completely covered by that wave. And the wave contained arboim sa of water. And it falls on you, and it falls on the things next to you. And those things, you and those things were tame. Both you and the kelim become tahor. Now, I'm assuming that the reason that it mentions you and the kelim, I mean, we've got to be talking about what's the difference? I mean, it must be to tell me, yes, it is a difference. That I want to put in kelim because kelim are not aware. So ma kelim de lo mechavne. So just like kelim do not have any level of awareness, so too the human that it's referring to, who's sitting next to the kelim on the seashore, he is absolutely unaware that he's about to betovel himself in this wave that's going to run over him. And it says over here that he's tar. So you see that there's no need for awareness, intention of any kind when it comes to chulin. There you go. So it's a mikveh. So it makes perfectly good sense that the difference in the braises is the difference between chulin and maisim. Wait a minute. I mean, how can you say that? You can say the exact opposite. That basically the case would have been where somebody left his pitcher or his clothing that was tame on the seashore, a wave crashed into them, and it would be tahar. And the reason that the Mishnah didn't say that case, and why did it have to say that a person was standing next to his clothes? Because it wanted to teach you just the opposite, that if there were no human there, then the clothes wouldn't have become tahar in the wave, because clothes are not aware, and therefore it wouldn't have been a tefillah. But the human who's standing next to them was sitting there waiting for that big wave that would save him the trouble of going to the mikveh. And it would also be the excuse of why he wasn't davening this morning, because he was waiting for the wave after all, and the mikveh was closed. As the Rebbe knows, he's smiling already, thinking of the situation. I mean, I needed to go down to the seashore. What could I do, you know? Anyway, So maybe it mentions the human because the wave would not have been mitire the clothing, because the clothing is not aware. So therefore it mentions the human. The human was waiting to get the wave over him, and he was providing the awareness on behalf of his clothing. And therefore the whole thing becomes tahar. So maybe it's telling me just the opposite. So mimai, dima biyoshevu mitzah peaskinan. Maybe the guy is sitting and waiting. Oh, man, I can't wait for the next big wave. When do we get a wave over here, Askinan? And it's coming to tell me just the opposite, that the Kelim are Dumya da Adam. Just like the Adam is aware, and therefore he is a Bar Kavana, so the Kelim are also talking about that the Adam has to be Mechavin for the Kelim. Av Kelim de Mechavin le. V'chi teman, if you say to me, no, how could that be the meaning of the Mishnah? Then it's not teaching you anything. I mean, obviously, if you had a tefillah and you had kavana for the tefillah, it would be okay. No, siree. That's not true. It's a big chiddush over here. So, v'chi tema v'yoshevu mitzapem ala memra, what would be the chiddush of the Mishnah if anyway I'm waiting for the wave to come? It's a big chiddush, because salka daita chamina, ligzar dilma ati lamitvo b'chardalit shel gishamim. If we would allow you to be tovel this way in a wave that hits you, having jumped over the wave breaker and now immerses you in that water, then you would have made a very dangerous mistake. You would have thought, oh, so if that's the case, then if there's a waterfall that is gushing over the edge of a mountain, I can simply walk into that waterfall and I will become tar. Because that waterfall is not any different than the wave. And that would not be true. Why? Why would it not be true? So here we run into some of the richest sugyas. This funny Mishnah, it actually opens up the doors to some of the most complex sugyas in mikvahs. So there's two issues that we need to take into consideration, and the interaction between them is very complex because of the many machlokas that are in the sugya. But the question is like this. There are two problems of a chardalit shel gishamim. One problem is this. A chardalit, if we take the chardalit to mean that it's actually like one of these, you know, you find in many places in Eretz Yisrael, you've got the water gushing over the edge, and then it like scatters and falls all over the place on you underneath, right? So you could have this in En Gedi, you can have this in the Golan, and in many places. So what happens over there is that once it gets over the edge, the droplets scatter, right? It's no longer running along, it's scattered. since it's scattered, you don't have Arba'im Sa'ah in one place because there's no longer a connection between the droplets. And water, as a unit of Arba'im Sa'ah, which is what happens in the wave, when the wave drops over you, it's Arba'im Sa'ah of connected molecules. So the same thing needed to be true in the Chardalit Shel Geshamim. You may not be paying attention to that little problem, but it's not a little problem. It's a massive problem. Because once you're dealing with the shear of rainwater, then you need to have a shear of Arba'im Sa'ah and a mikvah. And therefore, we need to be worried about the idea of, this is called ketafras. So ketafras is not considered to be connected to the drops. Now, we may even not be talking about a literal case of ketafras. Ketafras would mean it would have to go over the edge and then scatter into droplets. But what about if it's just rapidly flowing down a mountain? That's also called a hardalit. As a matter of fact, as Rashi brings the girsa of the Rabbeinu Hai, it's not hardalit, it's hardalit. So now, which means mountain flow, dali, to be moving, taken out of the mountain. So it's a hardalit. So now it could be flowing down the mountain, not as ketafras. Now there's another concept of connection, which is called nitzuk. Now the question is, would the nitzuk be a chibur? And at what point of the flow is it considered to be nitzuk? Suppose you have something that is gently in going in a direction, but it's not flowing fast at all. What's that? Ah, that's called zochalim. So we have three dargas. We have ketafras, nitzuk, zochalim. The problem would also be that even though zochalim definitely does provide a molecular connection and you do have 40 saw in one place, there's another problem. The other problem is that bor mikveh mayim, right? No, not the pasuk introduces the concept of tire. Ach ma'ayan ubor mikveh mayim, yet tohor. Now the mayan is a natural spring. It does not have to be in a bor, which means it can be moving. But a bor, a cistern, is not moving. And the mikveh is defined as a bor, which means that if it's moving, it will then not be metayer. So if you would actually go to a hardalit shel geshamim, then even if it was a real flow and it wasn't a hardalit with a ketafras or a nitzuk, and it would just be zochalin, it would not be metayer, not because it doesn't have 40 saw. It would not be metayer because it doesn't have the requisite bor aspect to it. It's not fully at rest. It's moving. So that creates a problem. So we have two separate problems. So as Rashi brings it, both of the issues are being taken into consideration. Now, it's important to recognize that both of the issues being taken into consideration saves us a lot of pain. Because we have a machlokas about what the halacha is about the ocean. Is the ocean nothing but a giant cistern, as it is physically, so that it would be like any other mikveh? In which case, if the ocean is moving, then it should not be able to be metayer. Or is the ocean itself viewed as the equivalent of the mayan for the halacha of zochalin, since that's the way that it is always acting? Now, this is a machlokas stam, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, but this, in order to avoid wondering about that issue over here, when we're talking about the idea of it being all of this water is in one place, if it would have a din of a bor, it's moving, isn't it, because of gravity. So there we would have to say, l'chora, that it's going according to the shita, that it would be metayer even bezochalin. Fine, we could say that. But there is, in fact, a machlokas about whether we should understand the Gemara about gal shenitlash. Does that mean a gal shenitlash min hayam, the way the Rambam learns, the way Rashi is learning? Or does it mean the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns? A gal shenitlash from a very powerful natural stream that is gushing out And it's going down the hill, and all of a sudden, some of it just bounces over a rock and comes out. Now, the din over there is that, l'chora, you don't need arbo imsa, because a mayan doesn't need arbo imsa, and it doesn't need, because of that, any kind of chibor between it. However, once it bounces out, this is the way the Reb Chaim Brisker explains it, Rabbi Natan. Once it bounces out, it gets a different halacha because it's no longer mechubar to the Mayan. So, legabe what does it get that other halacha? Legabe requiring arbo imsa. But not that this is not its norm. This is still its norm. Okay, so by Rashi bringing up both issues, he's basically telling us, look, there's a basis for this Mishnah to tell you a Chiddush, no matter how you understand it. Because whatever is happening, if the guy is sitting there and it's bouncing over him and it's going to be metire him, it may certainly lead him to make a mistake. Whether that mistake would be in terms of katafras, whether it would be a mistake in terms of shear, it doesn't matter. Both things are going to be problems. So therefore, Rashi brings both things. Okay, so that's the easiest way to understand it. Okay, so meanwhile, we do not have a raya from here, right? Now, there's another reason we don't have a raya from here, because maybe the Mishnah in Mikvos is coming to tell us another Chiddush, and that is, ite inami, nigzaroshin otu kipin. Let us worry about a wave bursting over you and being metahir you and your clothing. You might think, now, in order to really grasp this the way Rashi understands it, and not the way all of the Achronim understand it, but the only way to read Rashi properly, in my opinion, is that to understand it, you have to watch a beautiful surfing movie. Now, if you could see a really beautiful surfing wave, what you get is that the surfer rides the wave into the arch of the wave, right? So you get these gorgeous waves, the surfer's going, the waves curling over his head, coming down, and he is in the air. He's not in the water. Then it crashes over him, obviously. But he is actually surrounded by water, but he's in the air. Now, Rashi understands that to be the issue of keeping. So keeping means, suppose the guy sees that we allowed him to be metayer his bottle of Coke. We allowed him to be metayer that bottle by having the wave crash over it. This guy, who's sitting on the yam, and he's been surfing all day, and, oh my God, Dad is coming. He only drinks Coke. Al Tairas HaKadosh. How am I going to make my bottle of Coke? Oh, gosh. I don't want to have to get down there in the water. He's got a brilliant idea. He throws the bottle of Coke exactly where he would have surfed, right through the water. But it doesn't get touched by the water. It gets into a mikveh that's made entirely out of air, but it's surrounded by water. How do you like that? So he figures, wow, I'm a genius. Now, the problem is, it wouldn't work. But why wouldn't it work? Because the Torah said, this is how Rashi puts it, bar mikveh mayim, and not a mikveh of avir. Okay. So he's basically using a gas for Tyra instead of the liquid. You can't do that. Okay. So that would be the other reason that the Mishnah would be coming to tell me, you don't have to be gozer. Now, Rabbi said there is a beautiful, very important issue that we've discussed in other contexts often. And that is that we often find mahu detema, that is said not even specifically on a Mishnah, even on an Itmar, that Mao Detema Nigzar. Now, the obvious question is, what do you mean Mao Detema Nigzar? Nigzar, either there was such a Gezerah or there was not such a Gezerah. It's absurd to say Mao Detema Nigzar, isn't it? I mean, I understand in a Mishnah you could say Mao Detema Nigzar, because the Mishnah has the power. I mean, the Mishnah is telling you, listen, you should know, we determine. This is not something to be geyser. Okay, so then fine. But, I mean, like, where do you come up with an idea that something ought to have been usher because someone should have made a gezerah. What the heck is that supposed to mean? Is there such a gezerah? There's not such a gezerah. Like, what are you making a list of all of the possible gezerahs? Let's see. This fits that one, so we need the Mishnah to tell me, no, we didn't do that. Thank you very much. As far as I know, you're innocent until proved guilty. So until you can explain to me how it is that this is usher, I am going to make the reasonable assumption that it's mutter, okay? I mean, isn't that a normal thing to do? It's a very strange idea. So this is basically the way that the Chazon Ish explains this whole concept of Mahu D'Teima. Is the Chazon Ish says, you see from here, it's a Davar Pashut that you see from here. Because, I mean, we've pointed out many, many times before I saw the Chazon Ish. It's very obvious that the concepts of the Gezeiros D'Rabbanan are generalized concepts that teach you the getter of what a mishmeret is. That there's certain things that if you don't take for granted, that that's part of the extended understanding of the thing, that you're going to end up losing the thing entirely. This is one of the ideas about the gezeiros of electricity. That with everybody at the time that electricity became available and was discovered and then became available, everybody had to figure out some reason why it's usher. So even though there was a brief period at the beginning in which the Sfarim were matirit, and, you know, it's not a problem turning on lights and so on and so forth, gradually everyone agreed that somehow or other it's usher. Why is somehow or other it's usher? Well, it's like fire. It is? Sort of. Well, it's like bina. It is? Yeah, I mean, when you close the switch, it's like, you know, you're building the circuit, right? So you're closing the circuit. Well, it's like makeh bepatash. It is? Yeah, because like until you did this, the thing didn't work. Now you did this, the thing works. And so on and so forth. Any possible reason why electricity is usher, and who knows, it's usher midiraisa, horrifying, right? All of that, however, is completely consistent, as the Chazon Ish points out, is completely consistent with the idea that the gezeiros d'rabbanan are, yes, it's true, are very specific, and it's sometimes they're insanely specific because of a Maisa Shahoya and so on, where there the Gemara says it has to be like we had before, Ela Bisfino, Biyardin, like the Maisa Shahoya. Okay, there's different types of gezeiros. But some of these gezeiros are there in order to point the way to the derech of a mishmeret bichlal. And therefore, because of that, even though you don't have a gezeirah, basically, the Loshon of the Chazon Ish is Masruo lechachomim habaim lishpot biyeter hapratim kefi horaat ha'inyan uchamase v'matan shodin tera umashenir lechacham sharoui lahavino bichlal gezeratam zeu be'emet bakashat ha'gozrim u'mivukash gezeratam shegezerat chachamim nichnas begufei ha'torah lohorot et ha'tolodot al pi midat ha-Torah uvinata. So this is a difficult concept, but it seems to be unavoidable if you take a look at all of these sugyas that says Mao Detema Nigzar, and there are many such sugyas. Anyway, it's definitely something to think about and the implications of it. All right, but meanwhile, because of the Dechiyah that it might be talking about over here, that you did have kavana for the tefillah, and that the human had kavana for the clothing, that became Tahar, and there's a chiddush in the Mishnah, either because of kippin or because of chardalit shel geshamim. So because of that, we need another proof. Okay. So we're going to have to get back to the other proof. But meanwhile, how do you know that you cannot do tefillah in the arch of a wave? Minot tamer de lo matbilin bekippin. Tanya, matbilin beroshin, you can be tovel in the head of a wave that is smashing into the ground, but you cannot be metavel bekippin. Lefisha ein matbilin ba'avir. Again, everybody thinks ein matbilin ba'avir means you can't be tovel while the water is in the avir. Rashi says, wrong. You can't be tovel in air. Not, you can't be tovel while the wave is ba'avir. That's, I believe, the only correct way to learn Rashi. Okay, there's a lot of discussion about that in terms of how the Rambam brings it, and the Mishnah Melech speaks about it, but this, I think, is good enough for us to be Sermich on here. Okay, so then what is the basis of saying that you do not need kavana for chulin? Elami hoditznat. Okay, we've got another basis for that. And what is that? Because we have another Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that it says beferish, mina d'tanya. Where are we up to? Is d'tanya? No. Yeah. I thought we did that already, didn't we? Maybe I'm getting mixed up. Okay, mina d'tanya. Huh?
We did not.
Okay. We did the Tanya in Matbilon Fisha in Matbilon Bahavir, right? Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. All right. So then we're looking for another marker that Chulin doesn't. Sorry. Yeah. I lost track. So Chulin does not require Kavana is because of the Mishnah that we have in Bakshirin. The Mishnah says like this. You will recall, we've had many times, the Torah says, Ki Yutan Mayim Alzera, and it writes the word Ki Yutan without a Vav. So it can be read Ki Yitain Mayim Alzera. So that's the concept of Heksher Lekabel Tuma. Something that grew is only going to be Roy Lekabel Tuma if it was made wet. So Kiyutan is passive. But if you read it Kiyitain, it's active. And therefore, we learn out from there, Kiyutan does not mean that you have to actually be notain because it's referring to passive Kiyutan. However, it has to be similar to Kiyitain. Meaning you have to at least want it to have gotten wet or want it to be wet with this water, and then it's considered to be Mukshar Lekabel Tuma. So the Mishnah talks about a case like this. You had these peirot that fell into a water channel, and somebody whose hands were tamei sticks his hands into the water channel to take the peirot out. So the din over there is his hands are tahor. Even though he had no intention to make them tahar, he only put his hands in the water in order to get out the apples that had fallen into the water. And those apples are not mukshar lekabel tuma because they fell in by accident. And falling in by accident is kiyutan that is not similar to kiyitain. But if the guy looks at this and says, ah, great, you know what? I need to do tefillas yadayim anyway. Yaakov. Mute. Crouch. I need to do Tfilas Yadayim anyway. Let me grab those apples for the guy, and my hands will be tahar. So fine. He grabs the apples, and since he wanted his hands to be tahar, so then his hands are tahar, but they would have been tahar anyway. But in this case, the apples are Mukshar Lekabel Tuma. Why? So Rashi explains, Mukshar Lekabel Tuma, because he's happy now that the apples are in the water because it gives him an excuse to be Tovel Yadav, which everybody screams and yells at Rashi. That's crazy. He could have, if he wanted to be Tovel Yadav, he doesn't need apples in the water, does he? So he could have been Tovel as Yadav anyway. So why would that make them want, now I'm happy that the apples are in the water. That's so silly. Therefore, the other Rishonim learn that what it means is, as Tosus learns, the water that is on his hands, which he subsequently touches the apples with, that water remaining on his hands is the water that he wanted to be there. And that water is Batame, the apples. Okay? Now, the obvious pshat in Rashi, it's amazing how easy it is to get caught up in the conceptual issues and not take into consideration the reality of human psychology, which is all that Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying is the guy was, he knew he needed to be Tovel Yadayim, but he wasn't thinking of being Tovel Yadayim just then. He sees the apples in the water, and so he says, okay, great, you know, what the heck, I'll take out the apples, and meanwhile, I'll be Tovel Yadayim. So basically, since in his mind, this served as the catalyst for something that he had, he's happy that the peiros are in the water. What's your problem? So everybody does that, right? What's the big deal? Anyway, that's all that Rashi is saying, I'm sure. So now the question is, but it says over here, Poshat Mishiyadav. But the problem is that the Rambam learns that only the owner of the peiros das is important. And this guy is Mishiyadav Tmeot. It's not Mishiyadav. It should say the owner's yadav, no? So some people ask this on the Rambam. Again, it's not a problem because Mishi Yadav is, could be a definition of that guy. But the other issue would be that since this guy says, what the heck, let me pick up his apples for him out of the Amma, so then he's basically being Mizaka the Yadain with saving his apples, and because of that, Zochin Ladam Shalom Befanav, in which case he becomes, that's Mitam Shlichus, in which case he becomes Mechaven for the parents, like the owner. So that would also be a reason. Okay, a lot of nice things to think about. Now, the problem is that over there we see that if you put in your hands, you don't have to have any kavana at all. Your hands for sure are tar. Problem is, says Rabbi Reb Nachman, from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, atoveh l'chulin v'uchzak l'chulin. If somebody goes and he's tovel his body for chulin, and he had in mind, I am going to be eating chulin with my full intent to be tahar. And now he finds a meiser sheni, he's not allowed to eat the meiser sheni, because vis-a-vis the meiser sheni, he is tummy. Fine, but it says that only because he was machzik himself for chulin, doesn't that mean that if he wouldn't be machzik himself for chulin, it would not be a good enough for tefillah for chulin, no? Apparently he really did need to have kavana. You said he didn't need to have kavana. No. The Tana is saying, if somebody was tovah for chulin, even though he was huzik l'chulin, it's not going to help him. In other words, if the Mishnah hadn't said huzik l'chulin, you would have said, well, of course, tovah l'chulin, meaning he wasn't thinking about it, it's not good enough for Meiser. No, I'm talking about he was tovah for chulin and he was thinking about it. It's still not good enough for Meiser. That's the only reason it mentions it. I don't know, because continue reading the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says, Tova velo zakilo lo tava. If you didn't have any kavon in the tefillah, it's as if you never went to the mikveh. Doesn't that mean kilo lo tava at all? You didn't go to the mikveh even vis-a-vis the chulin that you thought you were going for. No, not necessarily. It means Tova velo zakilo lo tava vis-a-vis Meiser. It doesn't mean you weren't Tova lo chulin. That's all that it means. So Rabba thought that is like really far-fetched. Like, what would be the point of saying that? So he thought, okay, you know, you want to push me off with nonsense, fine. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about whether this is a reasonable interpretation of the Mishnah. So Usavadochi Kamatchila, he thought Reb Nachman was just like, you know, trying to get out of it. But the truth is he found out Reb Nachman was 100% right. Nafaki goes out, duck, and he was mavarit for himself. Ashkach, and he discovered that Reb Nachman was 100% right. The Tanya, the Brisa said like this: Taval velo huchzak asur lemaaser umutar lechulin. This is beferish. Exactly what Reb Nachman said. You went into the mikveh without any kavana at all. You're asur lemaaser, but you're mutar for chulin. Okay, so we learned therefore, if you had in kavana for a lower darga, you're tame for any one of the dargas above it. For chulin, you're tame for meiser sheni, for truma, for kodesh, and for chatas. If you were tameful for kodesh, you would still be possible for meiser, chatas, so on. So now, the question's like this. Suppose you didn't define in advance what the tefillah is for. You went into the mikveh. You weren't thinking at the time that you went in a particular purpose of your tefillah. And now when you come out of the mikveh, you decide what it is that you're going to do. I'm going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Or I'm going to make myself some scrambled eggs of chulin. Or I'm going to eat some of that meiser sheni. Whatever. So you are koveya after you went to the mikveh. Now Tosfos says that what we're talking about is you're going to be koveya yourself while you're still soaking wet from the mikveh. So somehow or other, you're still involved in the act of tefillah because you're still wet. That's how Tosfos says that there are girsaot that include the wetness in the actual girsa. That's as long as you're wet, then you can make that determination. Some of the achronim suggest that this sounds much more like a question of brera, meaning you left open in your mind what it is that I'm going to do. It's not the nef kavana at all. So you were saying, look, you know, I'm going to make, I'm not sure though what I'm going to use this tefillah for. So then afterwards, at the point that you decide what you're going to be using the tefillah for, so then that provides the kavana back at the beginning. So since this is a drabbanan, and in yonim of drabbanan, we say we go with brera, so it has nothing to do with your being wet. It has to do with the moment that you make that determination. So then you make up your mind what it is that you want to do. Asks the Gemara on Rebbe Elazar from a brisa that says, if you've got your toesies still in the water, then you can say what it is it was for. Once you took your feet out of the water, then you can't. So odeu rago achas b'mayim, you've got 1 foot in the water. So then husik l'davar kal, machzik atzmo l'davar chamur, you can decide, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll actually go and have some of the shlomim I was going to eat. Even though initially you were just going to have some scrambled eggs. But once you got out of that mikveh completely and you took your other leg out, that's it. It's over. Shuv eino machzik. Now, that seems to mean you cannot be machzik yourself at all. You said that even though you're out of the water, you can still be machzik yourself. No, that's not what it's saying. There's a big difference between these two cases, for heaven's sake. Note that the Brisa said that huchzak l'davar kal, he can change his mind and he can be machzik himself in davar chamur. Don't you understand that there's a big difference between having defined it and now you're trying to change it after you're already out of the mikveh versus not having said anything where it's still an open question and now you're making up your mind either because of brera or because you're still wet? Obviously, those are different. So this Bryce is talking about that you did make an intent initially. So therefore, this is the way to read the Bryce. If you still have a foot in the water, so then afapi, even though you had been koveya it for one level, you can now change your mind and be mausik it for another level. But if you were ola, then if you hadn't had in mind anything, you could still be mausik because of the brero or because of your wet. But if you had already defined it, you can't change it now because it was not an open question. And therefore, im huchzak, eino machzik. Okay, that actually seems like a nicer pshat, I must say, even though it's from the Turi Evan, Beikr. And so even though it's an achron, it seems much nicer than Tosis's approach. Anyway, who's the Tana, who's basically the basis of having a foot in the water is enough for you to have the higher darga, and to be mausik yourself for davar. Now, this should not be confused with the English equivalent of having your foot in the water, because in the English equivalent, having your foot in the water means just sticking your toesies in the water to see if it's too cold. It's basically getting your feet wet, as they say. But getting your feet wet, you were talking about the opposite end. You're at the end of your tefillah. Your everything is wet. And now the question is, are your feet still in the mikveh? So please, obviously, a beginning is not to be confused with an end. And getting your feet wet is not enough. You have to come to the Daf Yomi. You have to actually show your face. It's all very nice to say, I got my feet wet. I mean, I was there. It says my name. Isn't that something? No. No. Therefore, this sugya should not be used as a raya. Thank you.
Okay. It has to be an immersive experience.
Yeah, very good. Actually, very good. Okay. So that would be the point over here. So who is that Mandi? Omar of Pedas, well, it's got to be Reb Yehuda. Detznan. Mikveh shenim dad v'yesh bar ba'im sa'a mechuvanot. Now we've got over here a mikveh that is precisely 40 saw. Two people go down to this mikveh and they take turns. So Mr. One goes into the mikveh, he's tovel, he comes out of the mikveh, wonderful, he's tar. Mr. Two goes into the mikveh, he is not tar, because Mr. One walked out of the mikveh with some of the water. Ganev. So now there's less than 40 soft water, obviously. Some of that water was stuck on his body. Says Rabbi Yehuda, but wait, if Mr. One's toesies are still in the water, then Mr. Two had a good tefillah, because he can add the water on Mr. One's body to the water in the mikveh. So then that would mean that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ima yurag lavsha rishon nogot b'mayim afashayni tahor. So you see that that person is still considered to be attached to the mikveh. Therefore, it must be Rabbi Yehuda who said that if you're still attached to the mikveh, you can now determine that your tefillah would be for the higher purpose than you originally had thought. Omrim Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua. Yeah, okay, but let me just explain something. This is not seriously a machlokas about whether midiraisa you really have a mikvah. We're talking about over here issues about the ma'alot derabbanan. So if the rabbanan said that somebody needs tahira, even though there's absolutely no basis for the derisa, let's say they say an onen needs tahira, or somebody was mechusar kippurim, he needs new tahira. Why? Because he thought of himself as tamei vis-a-vis certain inyanim, and therefore that's the equivalent of lack of consciousness of tahira, and therefore you need a new tefillah. Okay, that's the milas that are built on consciousness. But as far as the tahira is concerned, you're certainly not going to say that your toesies are enough to make the mikvah a full mikvah and to be yotzei a real tefillah d'oraisa. This is all basically mitum of a tyrant. Nobody would say such thing. Everybody agrees, divrei hakol, that the second guy is absolutely tummy. Now that makes sense, according to Rav Padas, because Rav Padas says that if your feet are still in the mikvah, you could decide to be on a higher darga of tyra. Higher darga of tyra is by definition malos the rabbanon. There's no such thing in the tyra as a higher darga of tyra. You're either tar or you're not tar. So therefore, what Rabbi Pedant introduced the entire idea was about the Rabbanan. So that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. This discussion, Rabbi Pedant said before, that if you still have your foot in the mikveh, that you can change it. Yes, that's Tyra, the Rabbanan, Milas. But others say that what Rabbi Nachman actually said was that Om Rabbi Nachman, Om Rabbi Abua, that on the contrary, Machlokas is Bituma La Tyra. It's talking dafka where the guy wants to become Torah Midiraisa, and therefore we're relying on the body, the water on his body to be mitzarif to the water in the mikveh. There it's a machlokas, but the Rabbanan would agree with Reb Yehuda if they're only talking about Milos the Rabbanan. Divrei HaKol Afashini Tahor, and that would be against what Rabbi Pedas said. Rabbi Pedas said, if you still have a foot in the water, you can change your intention. Omar Ula, I asked Reb Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, supposing you've got a sewing needle, or supposing you've got one of these little fork-like devices that are used for spinning gold. Now, those are tiny, okay? The guy who has his foot in the mikveh has water on his hair. Now, I can't indicate that, unfortunately, but let's say the Rebbe could, or Moshe Forman could, right? So there's lots... There's lots of water still in his hair. I think Moshe Forman probably has got wet hair also right now. So, no. So if we put a needle, a sewing needle, onto Moshe's head while his toesies are in the water, would that be a good tefillah of the sewing needle?
Why is Rebbe needling Moshe?
Can't resist. And you're the last one to complain. It's like Eov and Avram Avinu. Okay. So anyway, so the question is, would it be kosher as a mikveh? Would his hair be kosher as a mikveh? So, and basically my question is like this. When Rabbi Yehuda says that if your feet are in the water, then you're still in the mikveh for the second guy and he can be tevel. Maybe that's because he holds of god achit. Remember, god achit means look at gravity, and if it's going downwards, then we consider it to already be down. So it means throw it down, extend its current movement to be in the mikveh. Maybe that he holds, but maybe he does not hold. This was all words that we had by Sukkah, remember, and by Shabbos Mechitza Erevin, whether we can bring up a Mechitza to go upwards, or we only bring a Mechitza down, and so on. So maybe he only holds of god achit, but not god asik. In which case, Moshe's head is not in the mikveh, and you cannot put those sewing needles onto his head in order to be tevel them. O Dilma, god asik nami yisle. Maybe he even holds of god asik. Omar Lian Ula said to me, said Rabbi Yochanan, you know the answer. The answer is from the Braisa. The Braisa says that if you have three gomamiyot in the nachal. So now, a nachal means a canyon. A nachal is always on a slope. Does not mean a valley, and it does not mean a river. It can, But the basic meaning of a nachal is a canyon. And therefore, it's the kind of places that will get suddenly filled with water that will wash you away instantly. And it's always, therefore, by definition, on a slope. So you've got three little gathering places, puddles, but they're big, in this nachal. And you're going down the slope of the canyon. And what, let's call it upper, lower, middle. Eliona tachtona ve'emtza'it. Now, the upper and the lower have 20 saw of water in them apiece. The middle one has 40 saw of water. There is now a chardalit shel geshamim overt b'neihem. So we've got moving water, a torrent of water, basically, that is moving between them. So it's at least nitzok, maybe it's ketafris. So Rabbi Yehuda says that my friend, my good Chavrusa Meir, that we know as the great Rabbi Meir, but he used to refer to him as Meir. So my friend Meir used to say that you can put things in the top gumamiyah, even though it only has 20 saw in it. Why? Because basically you're going to look at the water in the middle one and you're going to raise it up to be connected to the upper one. And Ula's, if that's the case, if Rabbi Yehuda said that over and he said, my friend Meir said that, and he didn't argue, so he apparently holds you can move the water up from the middle into the hole on top, and therefore that hole on top is the equivalent of Moshe's hair, and therefore you could put the pin into Moshe's head. Well, maybe not into, but onto. So ask the Gemara, but the problem is, Vatanya. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, we've got a brisa that says, my friend Meir used to say you can do this in the upper one, but I say, no, you can't. You could do it only in the lower one, not in the upper one. So according to this, we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that good is only good achit, but not good asik. So therefore, you cannot use that pin. Amalei, all right. If it says so, beferish and a brisa, then I take it back. I thought that he was agreeing with him. Fine. But meanwhile, now, of course, you're bothered by the fact that we need three holes. What would be wrong if we had one hole that had 40, and then the question was whether it could extend upwards if we're learning that the flow of the water is considered to be a chibur, so then it would be a chibur even if you only had one hole. What's more, why do you need a hole in the middle with 40? If you have two holes with 20 and you hold that the nitzuk is a chibur, then you would have 40. And what's even worse is that the Gemara says beferish in Gittin that nitzuk v'ketafris is not a chibur. So what the heck is going on over here? The whole thing makes zero sense. Well, the little Tosfos on the side deals with that issue. I'm sure you'll be willing to take a look at it. If you want to spend a few more minutes, we can learn it together and I'll have lunch with you. But actually, it's not really very complex. As Tosfos understands it, that is the whole point. That even though Nitzuk is normally, Nitzuk and Ketafris is not a chibur, it's the specific case over here because of the middle that has 40, that is connected on both ends to flows, there and only there we would say that that gives a shame to the entire thing as a, not a process, but rather a vision of the entire structure. And that's why in this case it would be a chibur, and that's why we have this crazy structure. Otherwise, the entire story would make absolutely no sense. That's basically what Tosfos comes out with, which is really quite brilliant if you think of it. And it brings many rias to this kind of case, right? But this is true in many cases where you see a piece of a thing, it looks completely different than when you're looking at the perspective of the entire structure. So then it becomes a ma'arechet, so to speak. It becomes an entire unit. Okay. Hatova l'chulin v'huzik l'chulin. So the Mishnah obviously is making a difference between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, because it says over here, chulin but not meiser. But remember that earlier we had a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, and we used that as the answer to the stira that said that there is no difference about Meiser Sheni. This Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan, who said, no, there is a difference. Meiser Sheni is more Kaddish than Chulin, and therefore it has to have a higher level of Darga. I got news from you, then we have a contradiction. Because in the Chelek of the Mishnah that talks about the problems that are engendered in the people that have different levels of awareness, it only talks about four dargas. It talks about the clothing that is going to be tamei midras for the level above it. What are the four dargas? Ema seifa, big day amaretz midras leprushim, big day prushim midras lochle truma. What do you mean lochle truma? Big day prushim are people who eat chulin b'taira. Next level is yes. Meiser sheni. So why don't you say big day prushim are tamei lemeiser sheni? What did you jump up the truma for? We're not holding by truma. Then you would have said big day meiser sheni or midras le truma. Now the Mishnah is inconsistent. So now all of a sudden we only have four out of the five levels. I'd explain that unless it's going like Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says, Chulin and Meiser Sheni have the same dinner. They are Kedani Nino. Are you trying to tell me that our Mishnah is basically reflective of two completely different approaches? Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rabbi Meir? Sometimes you got to bite the bullet, my friend. In. Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rabbi Meir. There ain't no way out of it. Rav Acha bar Ana had a different kirsa. That's the easy way out. So he was masne lo b'sefer chomesh malos. He had in the last part that atova l'chulin begot of his midras the leprushim and leprushim it's midras l'achlem aisersheni and achlem aisersheni is midras l'truma. So everything is great, and therefore according to him, muki la kula kerabana. It tastes a lot better than the bullet. Let me tell you, you may not like this idea of changing things, but if you had to bite it, you would have been happy to change it. Okay, Rabosai, that basically brings us up to date in this wonderful, exciting sugya. We can barely wait till we get the Chomer B'Kodesh and get into some of the real hot stuff that defines the difference between levels of Tuma V'Taira, which is all part of Benivlatam Lotigo, and how it is that you have to act on the Regel, which brings us directly into the concept of Chagiga, of Kol Yisroel Chaverim B'Regel, which is part, believe it or not, of the entire concept of Mikra Kodesh. Why in the world do you think that we say at the end of the Kiddush HaKodesh prayer, Chaverim Kol Yisrael? What is that? Some kind of tree hugger stuff? No, it's halacha.